From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show.
If you work on an Android app, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to presume you do, you'll know that when your user reports a problem or a crash, it's the absolute worst feeling. To make matters worse, they might one-star your app, go on Twitter and complain about the app, and if they're feeling particularly merciless, probably go on Reddit or something and post it there. But you know what? They have absolutely every reason to. If you treat your customers basically as an offsite QA team, it's rude to them and it's just bad for business. As developers, we don't want to rely on customers to report errors. Instead, we want to catch this much early on. Ideally, you just have automated tests and these tell you when there's a problem, but you know, as we've talked about on the show multiple times, that's not always as easy as we want it to be, because writing tests can be hard. That's why Sentry, our sponsor for today's show, tells you about errors in your code before your customers have a chance to encounter them. Not only do they tell you about the errors, they also give you helpful details that help you fix these errors. For example, how many users were impacted by this bug, the complete stack trace if it's a crash, the commit ID when this error was released, the engineer who wrote this line of code that was busted, that and a whole lot more. If your code is broken, let's fix it together. That's Sentry's tagline. Love it. You can check them out at sentry.io/4/android. Sentry is a pretty common word. It's actually a pretty cool name for the service if you know the English meaning of the word. But I want to make sure you get that domain name right. It's sentry.io. Once again, sentry.io/4/android. Check them out today and fix your errors before your users encounter them. Thanks for sponsoring today's show, Sentry.
So here we are again. We're back. Everybody, thanks again for listening. We really appreciate it. Kaushik and I are very thankful that you joined us on this journey here on Fragmented. Unfortunately, Kaushik's not with me this week. He'll be back soon. But that doesn't mean that we're not without some great guests and some great content. And today I'm really happy to have actually someone that I work with over at American Express join me today to talk about a topic that's really interesting that I think needs a little bit more exposure out there. And we'll get into that soon enough. The individual I'll be talking with today, his name is Matt Runo. So Matt, please welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, thank you. I'm Matt Runo and I'm a Android engineer at American Express.
Excellent. So Matt, me and you've worked together for a little bit. And for those of you that aren't familiar with you, would you mind just giving a little bit of background information, maybe about your history in Android, kind of how you got to where you were, and anything else that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so I started Android back in the Wild West days of 2.2, I think even about 2010 or so at Zappos. And at Zappos at the time, it was a very small team. I was there for quite a while and got into mobile from Java background, really, as one does. And so from Zappos went to Tinder, and then from Tinder went to American Express, where I am now.
Interesting. You've been all over the place. Did you live in Las Vegas when you worked at Zappos? That's where they were headquartered, right?
Yeah. So Zappos is in downtown Las Vegas. When I started, they were in Henderson. And so I lived in Henderson. Was there for about 10 years. Vegas is a great place. I'd recommend it.
Excellent. Yeah. I came out one time I gave a presentation there. That was great to see you there.
Yeah.
So today I wanted to bring you on the show to talk to you about something that you've been working with pretty closely, and that is basically two topics we're going to talk about today. One is FTL, also known as, which I'll let you get to in a second, and another one is Flank. For folks that aren't familiar with exactly what FTL is, would you mind explaining what that is and why it might be useful to them?
Yeah, so FTL is Firebase Test Lab. I think most people are probably familiar with Firebase as a concept just from Google. And that's a collection of services, you know, the database stuff, the analytics, all sorts of things. One part that we use a lot is the test lab there. And, you know, Firebase Test Lab is hard to say, so just FTL works great.
So for the Firebase Test Lab, what exactly is it? Is it just a bunch of pre-configured emulators? Do they have real devices, or kind of what's Google's like selling point on that?
Yeah, so they offer both. You can run your tests in the cloud, and you can use either a virtual device, or you could use a actual device. They offer a collection of common, just from the Play Store, analytics devices around the world.
Do they support, is it just Android only, or do they do iOS too?
Yeah, so as of November 2018, so very, very recently, they support iOS as well as Android. There is a beta channel that you can use in the Google Cloud tools, and that's how you access Firebase, is through the Google Cloud tools if you don't want to use their website. But if you use the beta channel in there, you get access to some earlier things. And I think iOS graduated out of beta in November last year.
Interesting. So on Firebase Test Lab, you know, it does have the word test in it. So does that mean that I can take my application, which has, you know, Espresso tests, and then I can run them up on Firebase Test Lab? Is that what I can do?
Yeah, exactly. You can run your Espresso tests or XC tests in iOS. I think that's what it's called. And you can just run those on the Firebase Test Lab cloud. It also supports another kind of test called RoboTest, where it will just kind of randomly click around in your app.
What are some of the selling points other than maybe just being in the cloud and you don't have to manage it yourself? Do they do anything else for you other than just kind of running your tests? And do they give you like a report back saying here's what's passed, or how do you access, or kind of what are some of the other features that they offer, if anything?
So they offer, obviously, the test report. That's important to know what tests pass and fail. You can also do other things like get a performance report. If you've published an Android app, you'll see, before you actually publish it, you'll get a pre-launch report in the Play Store. And that's really ran, well, not really, it is ran in Firebase Test Lab. And so that's a good way to preview the kind of information that you can get. Everything from CPU and memory to network conditions and things like that are all provided in those reports. We primarily just use it for testing, and the test results are the important thing for us.
So I wasn't even aware that would you say it was the pre-launch report that comes from FTL as well?
Yeah, it does. So when you upload a app to the Play Store, you get the pre-launch report back. That is using that RoboTest that I talked about, which is it's different than MonkeyTest, if you're familiar with MonkeyTest. No one likes MonkeyTests, but RoboTest is a sort of intelligent version of that, where it doesn't create so many weird loops like MonkeyTesting does.
I didn't even know that did that. Yeah, I remember MonkeyTest back in the day. I gave a talk in Arizona a few years, well, probably 5 or 6 years ago, where I actually crashed the Instagram app, right, you know, in the first couple versions that it came out, because it was just, you know, as you know with the monkey test, it would just randomly just throw out some crazy touch events all over the place. So good memories.
Yep.
On FTL, can you also obtain videos too of like what's happened? So you can, like, for example, let's say that, you know, you're running a test or series of tests, a suite, and for some reason it fails. You, for some reason, can't understand how the heck, you know, it got into this state. Is there any like video you can look at, or is it an option, or what?
Yeah, you can record videos of all of your tests. The way it does it is actually just grabbing screenshots and then using something like FFmpeg to stitch those into a video after the fact. That is maybe changing, though. I know for sure they support it on physical devices. There's maybe some changes going in on video support on the virtual devices, though.
Okay. You mentioned something earlier about if I want to interact with FTL, you know, if I come at this from someone who's listening now and they say, you know, I have a APK and I have my test APK from my Espresso test or whatever, I want to run this on FTL. What does that look like? How do I get my test set up? Do I have to pick a device? Do I log into a web UI? Do I do it through command line? Or if you were to explain someone how to do this, what would you tell them initially? Say, here's kind of the first couple of steps to get going.
Yeah, so the easiest way to do it is to log into your Firebase console and then go to the Firebase Test Lab option there. And then there's a big button, I think it's called Run a Test. And you click that, you will upload your APKs, your test in app APK. And then you can configure some options, things like if you're doing a RoboTest or if you're doing Espresso tests. And if you're doing a robo test and you say, I want to run it for 5 minutes or whatever, you can choose if you want to record video or performance metrics. These kinds of things are optional. Then you can also choose if you want to run it on a device or a virtual device. And if you choose either one, then there's some options there as well, because you have devices running, Android 2.3 and 4 and all these different OS versions. I'm not sure if they actually support that old, but top of mind at least.
So that brings up a good question. If let's say that I know that I want to run this on a particular device, like something that's like a Nexus or a Pixel or whatever, do I have to select one and only one, or can I run this on multiple devices at once, like kind of like in parallel, and get back the results saying, hey, all your tests passed on the Pixel, but on this small device, like half of them failed? Is that possible?
It is. The support for that in Firebase Test Lab itself is somewhat limited at the moment. So what you can do right now is you can say, here are my tests and my test APK, and I want to run them on the Pixel 2 on API 23, let's say. And you can tell it to repeat all the tests 10 times, things like that it can do. And if you tell it to do that, it can use more than one device. But any more intelligent kind of parallelization is not something that Firebase Test Lab supports at the moment. Although they do have a public issue tracker that you can find by filtering in it's the same issue tracker that Android uses. And there are things like parallelizable shards planned for the future, but who knows when that'll actually be offered.
So you mentioned something interesting. You said run a test 10 times. What is the meaning of running a test 10 times, and why would I want to do that?
The best way to tell if a test is actually stable is to run it more than once. On our team, we have a problem with flaky tests, and I think a lot of people out there will probably have the same problem. If you have more than a few tests, at least some of them are going to not run correctly sometimes, and that is a never-ending source of frustration for developers. So one way that you can try to mitigate that is by running your tests multiple times, and then you can download all the results, and if they passed at least once, then it's probably a flaky test or maybe a flaky app, but at least that the test itself is fundamentally working, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that a value you can set, like 10 or 5 or whatever?
Yep. Yeah. In your configuration at the beginning, you can set those options. There is another way to run tests, and that was the tool that I mentioned before, gcloud. If you use the command line tool, gcloud, you'll be able to have a lot more options than what is offered just on the Firebase console.
And that's a good segue there and that's a command line tool, right?
Yeah, it's a command line tool. I want to say it's Python.
Yeah, I think so. For the command line tool, if I want to, how do I get those files up there then? Do I have to log in, still upload the files, and then fire off a command from the command line? Or can I just tell it, hey, gcloud, here's the path to the file, and it uploads it for me, or no?
Yeah, so if you use the gcloud tool, then it will manage uploading the APK. You do need to tell it what bucket to use, I think, but it'll put the APK there for you.
So what do you mean by bucket for folks that maybe are like complete Firebase noobs?
Yeah, so in Google's cloud services, Firebase is just one little bit of it. And the other service that they offer is the cloud storage. And in order to have a thing to put your files in Google Cloud, you set up a bucket. And then you can upload your files to this bucket. Think of it just like a folder in the cloud. And if you're using S3, the same terminology applies.
Okay. Is that where, like, so the tests get run, either if it's through the web UI or you fired it off through the command line, the tests get run, and then we get some type of reports back. What do these reports look like? Are there a certain file type that we should be familiar with? And do those get dropped into the bucket too, or how do I get access to those?
Yeah, so if you use just the console, the website, you'll have to download them manually. You'll get access to them, and you can just click and download. They're standard JUnit format. So if you've written any Espresso tests and ran them in Studio, Android Studio, then you should have maybe seen some of these auto-generated files around. And one of them is going to be the test output, which is sort of a standard XML format that is, well, it's called JUnit format. not sure the story behind that, but I assume JUnit invented it and then everyone just used it because it was a standard thing.
Okay, interesting. Now, let's say, again, I'm going to rewind back here to the common scenario that I like to use as a developer, maybe even a solo developer, small team that wants to use this. And they've decided like, hey, we want to start using this to run our tests. Now, would you give anyone a heuristic to follow saying, hey, if here's some of the best practices I would recommend a new team to use if you're going to use something like FTL? Like, is there a specific device that you would recommend people using? Is there a particular set of devices that you think they should recommend testing on or anything like that?
I can tell you what we do on our team here at American Express, but I think really it comes down to what your team and what you really want to get out of testing. So on our team, we just want to see generally do things work. Is the code that we write something that is going to work on customers' devices just in general? I know other teams might very specifically care that the code works on the latest Samsung or the Pixel phone specifically. And then so in that case, you would want to run on those actual physical devices. We don't care so much about what device it's running on. And so there are benefits to running on the virtual devices that they offer. And we run on one called the Nexus Low Res device.
And why do you choose to run on the Nexus Low Res device as compared to like maybe, you know, a high end, you know, brand new Pixel 3?
Yeah. So if you want to run on a Pixel 3, say, there are only so many of those in Google's Firebase Test Lab service. So if you have a lot of tests like we do, you could theoretically have to wait for one to become available. And so that will obviously slow down your test cycle because you're waiting in that queue for an available device. They're also more expensive than virtual devices. Oh. So that's also a benefit to the virtual devices.
And I think one of the reasons we also use the low-res one is because it's a low-resolution device and we're able to test scenarios of how a particular UI would look on a smaller screen to see if, you know, if we're going to check something espresso, hey, is it actually visible or are we having two views overlaying each other and we didn't plan for that in a small screen? Would you agree there?
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that came to mind was these virtual devices, they're not emulators like you and I would normally run from Android Studio. They're a separate virtual cloud based OS that is built off of AOSP, and they just run on sort of everyday servers, and these servers don't have GPUs. And so if you use a high res, you know, Pixel 3 class virtual device, you're rendering this whole big screen all on the CPU on that server, and your test is it's notably slower if you use the high res ones. So they offer one called Nexus Low Res, which like you said is very small, but because of that it renders faster.
Oh, I didn't even know that was even a thing, that it would slow down the rendering and it didn't have GPU. That's super interesting. I had no idea that. So you did mention something that was interesting also a few seconds ago, that depending upon the device, if I want to be on a Pixel 3 or if I'm going to be on a, you know, a virtual Nexus low-res device or whatever, there's a pricing difference. So that's kind of the big question a lot of people ask when they start getting into some of these things of like, well, you know, I want to do espresso testing, but I don't want to use an emulator from some, you know, random CI company. So it looks like Google might be, you know, FTL might be a valid option. But it seems like, is this something that has a price associated with it? And do you know where people can find out more about the pricing, or do you have any recommendations about that or any idea?
Yeah. So I know at least the Android pricing. So the Android pricing, if you use a virtual device, is I think it's $1 per device per hour of test execution time. They bill to the minute, though, not by hour. So it could be fractions of that. And then that's $5 per device per hour for physical devices. I think iOS devices are separate. I'm not sure the pricing of those. And in both cases, it's billed rounded up to the nearest minute of your usage.
Okay. So it's not like so if you're using 60 minutes and 30 seconds, you're going to get billed for 61 minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll round up. And then the pricing, you know, subject to change, it's all on the Firebase Test Lab site if you look for it.
Of course, definitely makes sense. So then if, let's say that I've got this set up and I've ran through it a few times, maybe just on the web interface. I'm like, you know what, this is really cool. I really like being able to fire this up. It's maybe I'm using a virtual device that works for me and my team. And then at that point I said, all right, well, I can't really upload this every single time when we want to push a pull request or something like that. Is it possible to integrate this with continuous integration? Do you know if there's any like built-in integrations, or is this something you have to build manually or anything like that?
Yeah, so integration with CI is unfortunately this manual thing that you'll have to build yourself. There are some open source libraries that can help, which are cool. I'd look into those. But it all comes down to just writing a script that will work on your CI using that gcloud tool.
And that gcloud tool, does it... I don't know. I haven't actually tried this. It's been so long because it's automated for me now. But if I were to run it, let's just say as a test locally, and I said to take the test APK and the Android, you know, my app APK, and run all the tests inside of it, does that call, is it blocking? And does it just execute? And then when it's done, it returns back saying, hey, I've successfully completed it? Or do you know what that looks like from an integration standpoint?
Yeah, I'm not actually sure if it's blocking or not. I know there is a way that you can flag it as async, and that is an option that I always see. And I even went to the documentation today to see in anticipation of a question about it. But the documentation only says it runs tests async and not more than that. So, but yeah, the issue with gcloud is that once you have more than one test at a time, or more than, you know, let's say 100 tests, you'll quickly want to run them in parallel because you're going to wait, say, 100 minutes to run all those tests. And if you can run two chunks at a time, then you might only wait 50 minutes or, 30 minutes instead of an hour. And that works great, but gcloud itself is not built to run in a concurrent fashion. So you can end up with weird seg fault issues just from the gcloud tool itself sometimes when you run the gcloud command line tool in parallel like that, unfortunately.
Oh, so if you'd like to fire off multiple instances?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a good point, because a lot of people who start developing tests, like they have, you know, 1, 2, 5, 10, 15, 20 tests. But eventually, as your test suite starts growing, so does the time between like feedback loops. And if you're getting up there, you know, 50 to 100 tests, like you can spend a significant amount of time running these tests. And I think it's been very common practice for a lot of places to just run their entire Espresso suite of tests maybe overnight, because, hey, this one it takes 6 hours for us to just run through all of these tests. So we'll only do it once a night. Now, I know things, you know, which is kind of why we're talking here, things can be done differently because there's, you know, there's another tool out there for that, and that tool is Flank. Would you mind explaining kind of what Flank is and why folks might be interested in what Flank is?
Yeah, so Flank is an open source tool. It started in 2017 from a team at Walmart Labs, and what it does is gets rid of the need to run gcloud yourself. So we've been talking about gcloud and running tests, and they all run just serially, ABC. But what Flank will do is make that run in parallel in a way that you don't have to script it yourself.
So if I don't want to, okay, so what would be the benefit of that? Let's say I'm going to throw a big number here. Let's say I have, you know, 500 tests and it does take 8 hours to run. What benefit does Flank bring to the table for someone has a project like that?
Yeah. So for example, you can tell Flank that you want each shard of tests to run for at most 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And Flank will do all the work of measuring all of your tests and creating groups of tests so that each bucket only runs for about 2 minutes. So your 8 hour run there might take only as long as whatever the single longest test that you have is.
Oh, so instead of running them concurrently, like one after another, it would, like you said, it actually fire up different buckets and parallelize it for me, saying, all right, well, now based upon this, like if you want your total runtime of each bucket to be 5 minutes, then we're going to go ahead, like you said, we'll measure all the tests and then we'll kind of, does it smartly put them into buckets, or how does it figure that out? Do you know?
Yeah. It's actually called Smart Flank in the configuration options. But yeah, what it does is it stores a special file in your Google Cloud account, and it will basically just run all your tests in your first PR. It runs all the tests, and then it will remember in that file how long each test took to execute. And then from then on, it will use that file to organize your tests in these shards so that ideally each shard takes only as long as whatever the single longest test is. So that long test would just be on its own, whereas you might have 10 or 15 or 20 tests in a different bucket, but they're all much shorter tests.
So that kind of really exposes the power of something like FTL, because then you can basically just scale horizontally out as big as you need to go and say, all right, look, I just need these to take 5 minutes each. And it might just, scale up, say 50 different virtual devices at once, and then say, all right, device number one, you're going to run these 4 tests. Device number two, you're going to run these 12 tests. Device number three, you're going to run this 1 test. And it just shards them all out, and then it just basically runs them. And so they should all, in theory, hopefully execute within 5 minutes and then give you back your results. So you can run that entire 8-hour test suite in what, just like 5-6 minutes or something like that? Is that what the selling point is?
Yeah, exactly. It does that sharding for you and the parallelization of all your tests. And that's where, once you have 50 buckets, you could run into the queues for physical devices. So that's another benefit of things like the Nexus low-res virtual device.
What do you mean by that? You as soon as you hit like the 50, you can run into the queues. You might explain what you mean by that?
I don't know the internals of Firebase Test Lab, but yeah. Just imagine they have all these phones and they're in a data center somewhere, but there's only so many Pixel 2s. So if you tell Flank the device type that you want to use for your tests is a Pixel 2, you could use, you're definitely going to use 50 of them, and who knows how many Pixel 2s they've actually got. And then there's all the other customers that want them too. So you might run into a device queue where you'll have to just wait. And Flank will do that for you, but it will just wait for an available device before executing the test.
Maybe I wanted to test this. Could I tell Flank from my local development machine to say, hey, I want you to run these tests, run these 100 tests parallelized? Is that possible to run from a developer machine?
Yeah, it is. So Flank uses something called a service account, and that is an account that you set up in your Google Cloud account, and then you'll download a JSON file, and you can put that JSON file, say, in your repo like we do, and then anybody on the team can configure Flank to use that service account to talk to Google Cloud, and then they can run the tests locally as well.
When I run this locally, it'll do all the sharding itself. Do I have to provide in configuration for this, or does this just Flank just kind of automatically just run off and go do its thing? Or can I provide limits on it and say, hey, don't go more than this, or make sure that the bucket size is this size, or the maximum length is this size, or is there any configuration options I can kind of work with?
There is a Flank configuration file. It's a YAML file, and the spec is frequently changing as Flank is a very active project. So for the latest, I would just go to the Flank project on GitHub. It's under a team called Test Armada, and you'll find it. And then their README has a great description of all the options that you get in that YAML file. But some of it is like where to put the results, what bucket to use, and how many shards do you want to create, or do you want to use the smart sharding algorithm that we talked about?
Interesting. Okay. And then I think, does it also have something like a flaky test retry or something like that too, doesn't it? I thought I saw something.
It does. That's actually a feature coming to Firebase Test Lab itself. So if you pull up that YAML file and look at their README and find the YAML, then you will see there's two sections of that configuration. One is the gcloud section, and one is the Flank section. And the gcloud section matches just exactly the commands that you could send in gcloud itself. So you can look online for the command line options that you'd get, and you can use those in the gcloud section. One of those is flaky tests. And then if a test fails, it will rerun it some number of times.
Interesting. Okay. And then I assume for Flank, if I wanted to set this up on continuous integration, it's probably going to be the same type of thing where I just have to maybe tell it to install Flank or whatever it is. I mean, how do I actually get, that's a good question. How do I get set up with Flank? Do I have to install something? Is it just a download, or what does that whole process look like?
Yeah. So there are two options that you can use there. there is a Gradle plugin called Fladle that you could use. And then there is a Flank jar that you can use directly. We use the Flank jar. I think if you wanted to, you could use Fladle, you know, as just sort of as it has to follow the development cycle of Flank. So it's always a day or two behind whatever the latest features are in Flank. And the Flank development is actually really active. So when I say a day or two behind, like that could be the difference of having a better smart sharding algorithm or not. Or, for example, they're working on better flaky test support right now in Flank. And you know, you might get that tomorrow in the snapshot or so on.
Interesting. So if someone were, I guess, that, let's say they downloaded a Flank jar, I guess they would maybe put it inside of their project. They got their Flank configuration file. Then at that point, they could basically, from their developed machine, just tell Flank to go run these tests or whatever. And can you tell Flank that, hey, I don't want to run my entire suite, but maybe I just want to run this one test class, and then I want to see if I can, you know, see what happens on the cloud, because it only seems to be failing, which we've all encountered this, it only fails on CI but doesn't fail locally. Can you tell Flank to do that?
Yeah, so that's actually an option in gCloud itself. You can upload your entire APK and then only run a certain test target. And so Flank will pass that command through. You put it in your flank.yaml file. And when you run the jar, which is just java-jar flank.jar, but then -c, and then you pass in the path to your configuration file. And it will give you the option to specify a test target. And it will do things like run all the tests in this package, or all the tests with a certain annotation, or a certain test exactly down to the method.
Interesting. I think it's also important to note that if you're doing this and you're using Flank, you're still using, you know, gCloud and FTL underneath the hood. It's just making these things a lot easier to do, especially for larger projects with larger test suites. And you're still going to be, you know, charged money, so you do have to be careful of kind of what you're running, you know, from your local developer machine. You want to be firing off a ton of builds or whatever. Would you agree?
Yeah, there is a little caveat to that, and it is kind of confusing because Flank does refer to these as gCloud properties, and even in the YAML file, it says gCloud, but you're not actually using command line gCloud in Flank. We talked about the parallelization issues that gCloud has. The older version of Flank was Java, and that's fine. I mean, Kotlin is better, but Java, and it was using the command line gCloud tool. We wanted my team at MX to use Flank, but we were hitting that limit of concurrency, and we hit the same limit in Flank. So it really didn't get any benefit to going to Flank if we were just going to have weird seg faults. So in 2018, the Flank team rewrote the entire library using Kotlin and coroutines and the Firebase Test Lab REST API. So it completely gets rid of that limit that you had on the concurrency offered by the command line tools.
Oh, okay. So that's why it can do what it can do now, what it couldn't do before.
Yep.
All right. Now, let's say I'm interested in using something like Flank or something like, you know, gCloud, you know, together, whatever. Would you say that there's any like specific number of tests that I should maybe have to even start evaluating Flank? Do I need to have at least 10 or 100, is there a round number, or is there like a certain amount of time that my tests take, or do you have any heuristics around that or any idea?
I think the choice that you really have is if you want to use Firebase Test Lab, it's going to make it easier to run tests. If you have more than just one person working on the app, then you're going to have to worry about running an emulator on your CI server, and whether the emulator is actually running and waiting for it to launch before each time you run it and all the fun stuff that goes into that. Or you're going to have to deal with keeping some drawer of USB devices all charged and not turning off and connected to Wi-Fi, which is just, you know, it's a whole world of fun. So once you have more than one or two people working on a same project, I think you really get a benefit from Firebase Test Lab just in general. And then I think you get a benefit from Flank because it reduces the time that it takes to execute your tests.
And for folks starting out, would you recommend that they maybe run their tests on every pair? I mean, it could be a costly thing, or would you recommend running it, hey, only when you're going to be on, you know, your developer master branch, or what would you kind of recommend teams just getting started with this that are maybe price conscious?
Yeah, you could definitely run it once a day or even less often. It just comes down to the amount of change that you want to go into a single run. I think if you merge stuff all day and you have 30 developers working on an app and then you run all the tests at night, probably something is going to be broken every night. And then, you know, your whole team is not working when the failure happens. So it's easy to overlook that. And then you just have this kind of self-perpetuating cycle of broken tests. So we do like to run it on every PR, and then we block merging if there's a test failure.
Yeah, I really like that we do that, because it makes it so that by the time that code gets into the main line of the source tree, you know, in Git or whatever, I already know that every other developer that's using my code isn't going to be getting something buggy, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
so that's fantastic. Thank you for the recommendation there. There's so much that people can kind of dig into with regards to Firebase Test Lab and Flank. And if they really wanted to go kind of like learn more about it, would you just say it's just go to Firebase Test Lab site and then look up Test Armada Flank on Google? Or is there any other resources you know of, or what?
Yeah, so the Firebase Test Lab itself is super easy to try out just on the console. So I'd recommend just going in and uploading a APK and just trying it out. It won't be super expensive just to try it once. See what kind of information you get, play around with it. You can see the options that you get. And then the options that you'll get via Flank are very much the same. The Flank README and the Flank GitHub project is super active. There is also a Slack group that you can get to at firebase.community. And there's two rooms that I'll call out there. There is Test Lab, where the actual Test Lab engineers and product owners are, so you can get help there. And there's also the Flank room there, where you can ask questions about Flank and help see the progress that's being made. There's a lot of coordination on PRs that happens in that channel for Flank development itself, but the whole Flank group is super approachable, and I'm sure that people would be more than willing to answer questions if anybody has any.
Excellent. Well, Matt, thank you for coming on the show and explaining all the stuff about FTL and Flank and anything else. Is there anything else that you would like to share in regards to Flank or anything like that?
No, I think it's definitely worth trying out. If you are running tests in FTL or even in the cloud, I think Flank also supports Bitrise. If you're doing any of that, then I would give Flank a try. It's really worth your time.
Excellent. Well, again, thanks a lot. If folks want to reach out to you or get a hold of you online, what's the best way that they can reach out to you?
You can reach out on Twitter. I'm at Dendro.
Okay, great. Well, we'll add your username to the show notes. So folks that are listening, if you want to get a hold of Matt, you can check the show notes in your podcast player. Swipe over, you can check them out, or go to Fragmented Podcast. They'll be on the site there. Again, thanks again, Matt. We appreciate you having on. And everybody else, we'll talk to you in the next episode.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I want to thank Sentry for sponsoring today's show. Their tagline is, "Your code is broken, let's fix it together." They're a super cool crash reporting service that gives you all the helpful details that you need when detecting and fixing errors in your application. Don't wait for your users to report your errors and crashes. Use Sentry to catch them earlier. Check them out at sentry.io/4/android. Once again, because Sentry is a common word, I want to make sure you get it right. Sentry.io. My thanks to Sentry for sponsoring today's show.
That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmentedpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.